Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff in the studio on this Medical Monday to talk about podiatry and its related surgeries. Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in the Hudson Valley for more than 35 years. He's a grad of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine, a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. Dr. Tooman is the author of the Amazon bestseller, Ask the Foot Doctor. He's also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. He's also an avid marathon runner, or was before he stubbed his toe a couple of years ago, and now who knows? The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551 if you have a foot question, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Douglas Tooman, welcome back.
It's great to be here, and it's good to see the crew having a lot of fun. This is good camaraderie.
Hot enough for you?
She said it was high 80s. My car said triple digits, 101.
Oh, boy. I tell you, it's a tough day to be outside, but a nice day to be in comfortable 68-degree Studio A. And hopefully the flop sweat won't take over. Hopefully the show will be very good and everything will be fine. You know, my daughters start talking. The weather gets good. And then my wife even gets roped into it. The talk about nail polish. And I say to myself, how can you do that? Isn't that bad for your nails?
Everybody's going to the beach. They want to look beautiful. It's sandal season, and they want those nails polished. So in our office, and I'm sure every podiatry office that sees women, which is most everybody, when the women take the nail polish off, often they see changes in the toenails. Not all women. Some can get by with regular nail polish. But what happens is the nail polish that most people get in the stores or at pedicure places, it's actually having toxic ingredients. There's things like toluene, formaldehyde, preservatives, chemicals, and it doesn't breathe. And the toenails, unfortunately, react to that by changing color. They often get white or yellow. So all of a sudden, women take the nail polish off and they'll say, what are these white spots? What are these yellow spots? It's actually fungus from the nails being covered up and being in the heat and the nail polish toxic ingredients. So I always recommend that those that can, they should look for non-toxic antifungal nail polish. Such things exist.
All right.
And they will protect the nails. It doesn't have the ingredients. It's like being natural, like organic versus things with pesticides.
Yeah.
You want to have something more natural you're putting on your body because some of those changes result in permanent discoloration of the toenails and need to be treated with antifungal remedies.
Did you say that nails breathe?
Well, it doesn't allow breathing.
What kind of breathing does a nail do? It's cellulose, right?
Inhale and exhale.
Really?
All parts of our bodies have, you sweat and your skin is breathing, basically. So throughout your body, we have ways of having air exchange and skin exchange. And that's why what you put on your body is very important.
We'll get to this. We have calls on the line already about toenail fungus. But there are a lot of remedies out there that you see. Again, I always bring up late night TV because this is when I get all my medical information. But there are a lot of ads up there for things that are allegedly, you just topically put it on and get rid of this nail fungus, but there's more to it, right?
Late night TV and Facebook, you get all the information from.
I don't have Facebook, but plenty of late night TV.
Put it this way, there are millions and millions of people that have fungus in their toenails, discoloration, thickening, abnormal shape, color. So naturally, you respond to these advertisements. And unfortunately, most of them don't work. Some do. There's a 15-20% success rate if you have a minor fungus, the nail's not too thick, not too yellow, or what have you. But most of the times, it spreads to other toenails, and it will stay in the toenails. But there are better remedies besides the traditional things you see on late night TV.
Now, being an old timer myself, my nails are a little thicker than they used to be. What makes the nails thicker?
Well, it's made of keratin, the nails.
Right.
And the nails over time, our hair gets thinner, our nails get thicker. I think we're both in that age of thinning hair. So it's actually the combination. Some nails just get thicker and some nails get more brittle.
Yeah.
But many of the things that change, it's the fungus that gets in the nail that really makes it thick. So not pretty, especially for women who want to have beautiful toenails. We old guys, we don't care as much.
Oh, not at all. In fact, I wear shoes into the ocean. It's nice. All right. Lynn writes, how successful is recovery from foot drop in an otherwise healthy and active, nicely recovered recovering post-operative 57-year-old. Any suggestions for physical therapy exercises?
Well, I don't know what caused the foot drop. That's the key question. Why is there a foot drop? Is it from a hip surgery? Is it from back surgery? Foot drop is basically something happened that controls the muscles in the front of the leg, like an airplane lands, comes down nice and easy. If you have a foot drop, the foot is slapping down often or it doesn't have control. So you often are tripping or stumbling over the front of the foot.
Yeah.
There are different variations of that. But in general, you definitely want to strengthen the lower leg muscles. You want to figure out what might have caused that if you have a back issue or a nerve palsy somewhere. But physical therapy can be very helpful with that.
And if you can't fix that, are there orthotics that will keep your foot in place?
A drop foot brace. It's a type of an AFO, ankle foot orthosis, something you put inside the shoe, and it will prevent that from falling.
Yes. Our guest today is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. I'll tell you what, another email or two here, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Jay writes in, spurs? On each foot, I have on one of the middle toes that have developed tiny lumps at the second joint. When I'm walking, they rub against an adjacent toe, and the other toe is developing a compensation indent. After a while, it gets too painful to walk. What's going on? And can surgery address it or something topical?
Jay, it's hard to see your foot, but I can tell you those small joints in the toes, there's three bones in the second, third, and fourth, and fifth toes. And each joint has a knuckle. That's basically what your knuckle is, a joint.
Yeah.
And what happens is either based on your family history, heredity, or an injury, you can develop little arthritic spurs or degenerative changes at those little joints. And they become sometimes red, inflamed, elevated, and if the shoe rubs on, it hurts. And yes, there are surgical interventions. Obviously, the first thing we always say is get wider shoes, and there are some brands that have more wider toe boxes, higher toe boxes. But yeah, you can definitely have those fixed.
You have said this before, that our feet get bigger as we get older. Is that true?
We're all growing young men. Yes. So what happens is you grow until whatever age, let's say 18. So, and then what happens after that is your feet don't grow. But then when you get into your 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond, those later decades, you've heard of people shrinking, compression.
Yes.
So gravity always wins. It's compressing our body. But our foot is made up of 26 bones, 33 joints. And those joints stretch out because they're not supported from the gravity. And your foot will extend or splay or spread or get wider. So you end up with a bigger size shoe.
Our guest is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates on this edition of Medical Monday. The number is 800-348-2551. The email is voxpop@wamc.org. Tell you what, let's grab one call here, then we'll take a break. Joyce is in Brattleboro, Vermont. Hello, Joyce, you're on.
Hi. I've heard a lot about plantar fasciitis, and I don't really understand where it comes from. And what you do about it.
Hi, Joyce. Do you have plantar fasciitis? Have you been diagnosed with that?
No, but I've had a lot of friends with it.
Right.
Yeah.
So just calling in for information. Okay. Well, the good thing is you don't have it. Hopefully we'll never get
it. You'd know it if you did.
And the one good thing about plantar fasciitis, you always talk about people that have had it. So it's something that you can get over. It's not a permanent condition. The fascia, we have fascia throughout our body, but on the bottom of the foot, the bottom of the foot is called the plantar aspect. So it's the fascia on the bottom of the foot. It gets tight, inflamed, sometimes has micro tears. And what happens is it attaches, originates from the heel bone. And for example, you get up out of bed in the morning and you start having pain the first step down out of bed. And that's that fascia pulling on that heel bone, which eventually can cause a little heel spur. So in general, it can be a very debilitating, painful condition. You don't have to be a runner or an athlete. They get it. People who are overweight get it. People who are wearing improper shoes get it. Everybody gets it. And there are treatments, and they consist of either anti-inflammatory treatments, stretching treatments, orthotics, or things you put in your shoes, different remedies, injection therapy. So we have many different things. We have some brand new, I wouldn't say brand new, but very new techniques that are really wonderful as well, shockwave therapy, radial pulse therapy, a lot of good things, but it's an inflammatory condition, Joyce.
Okay, now you've said, and Joyce, thanks for the call. Now you've said something that piqued my interest. What is radial pulse therapy?
RPT.
What is it?
Okay, so basically, The way I describe it, first of all, there are two different types. In our office, we have two different machines. One, we would do weekly treatments for 5 weeks for plantar fasciitis. It's non-invasive. It's a machine you put against the foot, and it will deliver the shock waves into the foot, very deep into the foot.
So the radio shock waves.
Radio frequency shock waves, yes. So, not okay. Like ultrasound, different.
Right. All right.
And the way I describe it is that in your body, let's just say you cut your finger, okay, your body would immediately send the police, the ambulance, and the fire trucks, and your cut gets and stops bleeding, and yeah. It heals. You don't have a scar because your body takes the necessary precautions to fix it. When you have a heel issue or something along those lines, initially people will get over it if it's just a bruise. But what happens sometimes is it can go on for months and months and months, and your body has pulled away the ambulance, the fire trucks, and the police cars. So what this does, it's a natural way of healing. It re-stimulates your body's internal healing mechanisms by bringing human growth hormone and factors to the area and stimulating circulation. Basically, it restarts that healing process and works beautifully.
Well,
natural.
Without going too far, we're coming up on a break here. I'm fascinated by the science behind this and the research behind this. What frequency are you guys using? Is this just warming up the tissue? Basically, that's what RF would do, right?
Yeah, actually, they're specified for different conditions. So there's different hertz and frequencies and things along those lines. So we have the machine set for plantar fasciitis, and it will naturally do. We'd have a 33,200 shock waves that'll pulse in. It takes about 5 minutes, and it can be a little tender, but it's a wonderful treatment that will work beautifully.
All right, next time you're on in 3 or 4 months or six, whenever you're on again, remind me. I want to talk to you about this at length, but we're overdue for a break.
Physicist here.
I'm interested in that sort of thing. Let's take a break now. 800-348-2551. It's Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates, you tootsies, and we'll take your calls in a little bit. Mahjong, there's Wayne Shorter on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you. The email is voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll check the email bag again in a little bit. But the number is 800-348-2551. We're talking podiatry today with Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Martha's in Gansevoort. Martha, go ahead. Hang on, Martha. Stand by. There we got you now. We had a little technical issue. Go ahead.
I'm calling up on behalf of my niece. She's about 55, and 3 years ago, she had surgery on hammer toes. She thought her feet were going to look beautiful again. Awful. She has been in pain ever since. She did get an infection, and now she has a cyst on the center part of, you know, the palm part of the foot. At any rate, she's been told she could have either a steroid shot or surgery. She's terrified of surgery, and because of what happened to her foot in the first place. As I say, she hasn't been out of pain since she had the operation, and she's very athletic. So it's real, and she likes to hike and everything. So what do you suggest?
Hi, Martha. I missed. Who is this person that you're talking about?
My niece.
Your niece.
My niece.
And how old is she?
She's around 55, and she's very athletic, goes hiking with her children by herself and, you know, and play pickleball. And the surgery on her hammer toes has been, her foot has been in pain ever since.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to get the other foot done now.
Sure. So the first thing I would always say, anybody who's listening, you never want to do foot surgery for cosmetic reasons. I don't know that she did that, but she thought it would look beautiful. You want to do it to relieve pain and things that are challenging, like the inability to wear shoes and the ability to do the hiking, not to, you know, just make them look better. I don't know what happened to her toes, but there are many wonderful, excellent foot surgeons out there. Then she should go get a couple of different opinions and just really get a consensus as to what can be done, revisional procedures, whether the cortisone injections would work for her. Hard to know, Martha, without seeing, but it sounds like she didn't have maybe the best I know she didn't have the best result, maybe not the best surgeon, or just bad luck from the infection. But I would just say you know, go to a couple of different board-certified foot surgeons and get a consensus on what can be done for her.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. Now, are you saying then that if someone comes in, Martha's niece, for instance, mm-hmm. and says, you know, I don't like the way my hammer toes look. They feel fine, but I want them to look better. You'll just say, no, this
Correct.
Isn't for the right reason?
Correct.
Will all podiatric surgeons do that?
No.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's leave it there. The number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Greg writes, I stubbed my big toe some time ago, and there's dried blood underneath. The nail seems secure, but looks unpleasant. Should the nail be removed, or will this take care of itself?
Good question, Greg. That's called the medical term subungual hematoma, which means blood under the nail. Thankfully, you don't have a lot of pain and the nail is not loosened. And, you know, basically, a lot we see this with runners and people that drop some things on their toes all the time. If you can get in right away, we can drain the blood very simply from under the toenail. It's a minimal technique. It doesn't even require anything but a tiny little bit of anesthetic, and it'll drain the blood out. Once the blood has dried, like in your case, Greg, it won't change until the nail grows out. If it's not hurting and the nail is not loose, I would say you live with it for the nail cycle, which can be up to a year.
Okay.
And then you'll get a new nail and you should be fine.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. So, I mean, but there's no case where you should say, boy, you better get that taken, but someone better look at this.
If he knows what caused it and it's not hurting.
Right.
Yes. That's
right.
Correct.
So the toe's not going to fall off.
No, he's got a black toenail, and runners get that all the time. You run mountains.
Are you doing any running still?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
I thought you gave it up after that horrible incident.
Half marathon. It broke my ankle, but I'm back full steam. Yeah, we're doing it.
Well, obviously half steam if you're only doing half marathon. All right, so let's go to...
I thought you were just a ham radio operator.
Hey now, Debbie in Schenectady. Debbie, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to go back to the plantar fasciitis thing for a second.
Sure.
I have a connective tissue disorder, so when I get plantar fasciitis, it's there for a while. I had it for about a year and a half. My doctor and I tried every therapy we could find, and nothing helped until I stumbled upon something online, so I just wanted to share it with people. It's also available at drugstores.
Oh, boy.
It's called Mueller, Mueller, plantar fasciitis tape. And what it is a very adhesive tape. You put one of the tapes on the bottom of your foot, and then there's tabs at the end to pull it to create tension. And then there's another tape that goes around your instep and your arch, and again, you pull that tight. It gave me not only immediate relief, but then when I wore it every day, within a month, the PF was gone.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Gosh. You're not a stockholder for the company, are you, Debbie?
No.
Oh, good.
But the
good.
Thing is, like, no doctor ever suggested this, or it's never, like, online or anything. I mean, I did the boot. I did the shots. So I just want to just put that out there so people know.
Good.
It's inexpensive. It's about $12 for our package.
All right, let's see what Dr. Tooman says. Doug.
I think whatever works is the best thing, and that's a simple remedy. And you always start with simple things. We always use tape in our office. We use a lot of kinesio tape, KT tape, and different versions of that. And connective tissue disorders, that's something that might very well work for you. That might not work for others because you're taking the pressure off the tissues with that.
I know we've talked about this before, but soon-to-be Hall of Famer Eli Manning had plantar fasciitis at least 1 year. And did they tape it up or give him a special shoe? Because he never missed a game.
No, he never missed a game. And if you know, Jalen Brunson never missed a game, even though his ankle gets trashed and stepped on. So whatever they do in those locker rooms, the Giants have a tremendous trainer that's been with them for years. They do a lot of pregame injections.
Yeah.
You know? And, of course, during the week, they're there in the training room. You know, they'll do all kinds of training stuff. But his brother had it, too, and so did many other professional athletes. Nobody gets away without it for the most part.
The email address here is voxpop@wamc.org. The phone number is 800-348-2551. It's Podiatry Today with Dr. Douglas Tooman. Dawn in Northampton writes, I'm a marathon runner and self-diagnosed second toe capsulitis during COVID when doctor's appointments were difficult to get. I took some time off, switched to zero-drop shoes, taped my toe for about 6 months. Now it appears to be gone. Is it likely to return? I'm 62, and that's from Dawn in Northampton.
Hey, Dawn, congratulations on your marathoning. So you know, whatever a self-diagnosed capsulitis or whatever it might have been, it's an inflammatory condition surrounding the joint. And there's different things that can happen. You can damage ligaments. You can damage joint capsule. So in most cases, since your inflammatory change is gone, the pain is gone, I wouldn't expect it to return. So consider it an injury of some sort, and injuries heal, and they don't have to come back. You should be really happy. Go out and do your stuff.
Isn't that something? In the COVID, so many people didn't go to the doctor for so many things. Right. Has it changed on your side of the patient-doctor relationship since COVID? Has it, you know, when doctors started really seeing patients again, the lines and the waiting times were forever. Have things evened out now in the last several years?
We still have people waiting out the door for us. We're so popular.
Yeah, well, of course.
But in general, I think the changes continue to happen. I think COVID was a big change for people, and it was really challenging. But now, you know, there's AI and there's Dr. Google that's with Claude and everybody else. And I think it's really great that you can get, you know, education and information and just how you use it. But yeah, I think it's wonderful.
How much do you use AI?
Oh, we use it all the time.
Really?
But I use it for personal life. I use it for, there's a, you know, when somebody comes in with a medication I haven't heard of,
yeah.
You can quickly, there's a separate medical apps that we use, Open Evidence, and it's just incredible the information it can give you. We want to know if somebody can have a certain medication that you want to give them and contraindications. It's a wonderful help.
Our guest today is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. The phone number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Chris in Saratoga Springs writes, can you talk about Morton's neuroma? What is it? How do you treat it?
Chris, yes, we can talk about that. It's a very common thing, and I see it almost every day in my practice, so it's a very common painful condition. So let me tell you what it is and everybody else out there. Morton's neuroma is an injured nerve in the ball of your foot. Usually happens in one of two places, in the ball of your foot just behind the third and fourth toes, or the ball of your foot between the second and third toes, just in that area. And the nerves that are there, you have nerves all over. These are on the bottom portion of the foot. And I always describe a nerve, if you open up and look at it in the small areas of the foot, they look like a very thick glistening piece of dental floss. And when it gets to be a neuroma, a full-fledged bad neuroma, it looks like a small chewed up piece of gum. It becomes fibrotic, thickened, very small,
yeah.
But the nerve becomes like scar tissue. And that's the more advanced stage. And it can be painful. You can have burning or numbness or tingling or radiating pain to your third and fourth toes. And you have to take your shoes off and rub your foot. So very treatable. And what we do initially is, of course, we want to make sure you're in the proper shoes. We'll often give a series of a few corticosteroid injections to try to shrink the thickness of the nerve and the scar tissue. And from there, we'll often do other in-shoe devices, orthotics, to redirect the pressures. And then the surgical interventions. But yeah, to get it looked at, absolutely.
The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Podiatry Today with Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. And let's see, we'll go to Jim in Matamoros. Hello, Jim.
Hello, hey. When I was a kid, I got ingrown toenails, and the doc cut a V-shaped incision into the top of the nail. It seemed to work. When I was a teenager, I got a pair of hockey skates that were too wide, so I traded them for a pair of figure skates that were too tight. And then that caused the ingrown toenail to come back. So I did a vertical surgery on the part of the nail that was ingrown for 20 or 30 years. Then that finally went away.
Good stuff, Jim. Actually, we see lots of kids. Unfortunately, a lot of the ingrown toenails we see become infected, and the V for victory doesn't, unfortunately, work most of the time. You really have to do a little mini procedure to not only, and it's actually one of the best things about ingrowing toenail procedures these days, we can remove an ingrowing toenail, make it so it never comes back again by cauterizing the base of the root of the nail. Works beautifully. You don't have to suffer, and most podiatrists can handle that in their office in one quick visit.
Okay, thanks, Jim. You know, Jim was talking about hockey skates. if you were to put a number on it, what percentage of the patients that come seeing you are the result of shoes that are ill-fitting or poor?
Ooh, maybe 10%.
Really? That's a lot.
I would say it's a lot, but it's not as much as it used to be, right? Because in the past, women wore the high heels.
Yeah.
And that's a change after COVID we talked about.
Yeah.
More casual shoes, more comfortable shoes.
Yeah.
But people still wear shoes that are either too small, too short. And if in our diabetic population, it creates a lot of complications.
You know, bowling shoes always used to be annoying to me because they were just so flat.
Bowling shoes aren't fun.
No, you need some arch in your shoes, right?
It's a racket. I don't know why you can't wear your own shoes in the bowling alley.
Well, I brought my own shoes, but it was still terrible. Let's go to line two. And Glenn, you're on with Dr. Douglas Tooman.
Oh, good afternoon, fellas. Between 1964 and 1968, Donald Trump beat the Selective Services draft four times by claiming he had bone spurs.
Okay.
Now, wouldn't the military remedy that problem and take him into the military?
Well, I think that was more of a financial remuneration system than a...
Ah.
Actually, there's a annual podiatry day when that was the date he got his deferment or whatever.
Really?
My friend Stanley, who's listening, always sends that to me every year.
I see. All right. Well, Glenn, thank you for that. That's sort of a political question. But,
yes.
You know, I remember.
But it was his right foot or left foot at the time? I'm not sure which
maybe he had a both. You know, I remember a couple of my older relatives, at least one, who wanted to go into World War II, but they said, no, you're 4F, you're flat-footed. What difference does it make if you have poor arches?
Well, back then, they thought you couldn't do the marching, and your feet would get tired, and you'd be, you know, a hindrance to the troops. But obviously, that's not the case. It was just the poor boots that they gave you.
There you go. The number here is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. We will be back. West Montgomery, full house here on Vox Pop. It's a Medical Monday. Dr. Douglas Tooman joins us. Ray Graff here with you. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. And a couple emails here, then we'll jump back. This is from James. I am a runner, saith James. I was suffering knee pain a few years ago and went to a doctor who told me I had a naturally very high arch. Oh, there you go, arches. But as I was aging, my tendons were stretching and it was collapsing more than it should. And this was causing the knee pain and back pain. He advised I get arch supports, which I did, and they helped somewhat. I subsequently went to a different doc and he advised I get barefoot or very thin archless sneakers, like bowling shoes, right? This is all tying in. He said this would encourage me to land on the balls of my feet rather than the heels and would naturally strengthen my arches as it would encourage me to curl my toes as I kicked off each stride. I would be interested in hearing your thoughts on these two divergent opinions.
Well, there are divergent opinions, and the barefoot kind of craze kicked off with a book probably about 10, 15 years ago.
What was it called? Barefoot in the Park?
Something like that.
Okay.
So it's on the tip of my tongue. And, of course, then it swung the entire other way with Hoka and their maximalist shoes. And to me, everything depends upon your age, your feet, your injury history.
Yeah.
I believe if you're in the gym or in the house, you want to strengthen your feet and want to wear barefoot shoes, that's great. If you don't have a history of injury for running, I'm not a big fan. Some people can do it. I cannot. I like regular running sneakers with good shock absorption. We didn't live in a concrete world years ago. Now we do. And
some do. Some are out in the country.
Some are out in the country.
You could go barefoot in those days. Just watch for ticks, right?
Exactly. And the new disease that's out now as well. But anyway, so it depends upon I like my thick-soled running shoes. But when I'm in the gym, I like my thin-soled shoes and I like to strengthen my feet. But you're not strengthening your feet when you run. If you're in the gym lifting weights, for example, you don't lift weights all day. You can do a half hour, an hour workout, and that's fine. You can do the same thing with your barefoot shoes. Not big on running with them. We see lots of injuries from that.
Okay, let's go One more email, and then we'll go back to the phones. We'll try to get to some more emails in a little bit. Jill writes in, please discuss ways to get rid of toenail fungus. Well, we did talk about this, but we'll talk a little more. I used 3 months of meds. It's come back, and I'd rather find another way to deal with it. And that's from Jill.
Hi, Jill. So I'm not sure which meds you used. Were they topical or oral? We're not going to know that information from your email. So if you use topical medicines, it's not the strongest remedy. And then there are oral medications, and that would be a three-month course, a pill a day, which has a very high success rate. Also, there's laser therapy. So the three remedies is going to be topical remedies, oral remedies, or laser therapies.
But again, if you don't care about it, it's not going to hurt you, right?
No, it's like I say in Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in your toenails stays in Vegas, in your toenails. However, you know, for Jill, she's a female. She doesn't want to have thick toenails or discolored nails.
It's not indicative of a potential underlying medical issue?
No, it's trauma and irritation, heredity stuff in the toenails.
Fair enough. All right, let's go back to our phones with Dr. Douglas Tooman. Down to Long Island. Marty, where are you on the island?
Hey, Ray. Hey. Valley Stream.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. You're on with Dr. Douglas Tooman.
Okay. So a couple of weeks ago, my left foot started to feel pain like near the heel, a little bit to one side, and it hurt walking up and down steps, more walking down. Went to the podiatrist. He x-rayed it, felt around, and he told me it was Achilles tendonitis, not too bad. And to ice it, show me how to ice it. I did that for like 3 or 4 days. Can I walk if you don't feel too much pain? And after that time, I didn't. So I walked a little bit. And the next day, I walked a little bit more. And the day after that, all of a sudden, worse than before.
Oh boy.
And the pain is now around the other side of my foot. Mm-hmm. And before I go back to him, I want your opinion.
Okay.
One other thing. And what effect this might have, let me know. My cardiologist doubled the dose of the statin that I was taking about 6 months ago. And I know that could be implicated in things like this. So that's the second part of the question.
Interesting.
Well, Marty, you're talking to another Long Island boy here, so I want to help you get you better. So question for you, does it hurt getting out of bed in the morning?
If I step out of bed... not terribly. What hurts the most is walking down steps.
Okay. So first rising out of bed, you're not terrible pain. All right. So obviously you said heel.
Sometimes I'll get up in the middle of the night and I'll feel a little bit of aching and throbbing there.
So we're talking about the heel. There's different parts of the heel. You're talking about the back of the heel, and that's where the Achilles tendon attaches to. So this sounds like an insertional tendonitis if it's not in the Achilles itself, because you mentioned your heel area. So the Achilles tendon above the heel bone is a tendonitis. Below the heel bone, it's where the bone and tendon meet. Certainly, I would take an X-ray and see if there's a spur back there. And then, of course,
he said there were bone spurs on both feet.
So, and of course, you did well with initial conservative therapy. It's not enough. So typically, we'll put you on an anti-inflammatory medication, continue the icing. We'll give you a night splint to stretch the tendon and things out overnight. And, you know, sometimes you have to be in a boot. But I agree with what he did initially, and it did work until it didn't work, which is a few days later. So you do have to go back and talk about what next. Topical anti-inflammatories, oral anti-inflammatories. This is not necessarily a surgical case. It's just a lot of conservative therapy to get you through this. And you will get better. Different eccentric stretches.
Okay, one thing is I cannot take anti-inflammatories.
Yeah, then there's other remedies as well. There's topical things you can use, and the night splint should help. You may need a rest for a couple of weeks and a boot for walking. And again, you have to think about what you said. The second part is there any relationship to the statins? And again, you have to talk to your doctor about that, anything else hurting and so on and so forth. But I'd go back to your podiatrist and let him know that the pain increased. Let him do more for you, Marty.
Marty, thanks a lot for the call. So you're a Long Island boy, huh?
Initially, yeah.
Where are you from?
Belmore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
My dad was a
Hempstead
guy, right, so there. I was always down there in the summers when I was a kid. Yeah, great time. Has some issues now, but it's getting better. Kyle writes in, hey, the name of the book you were talking about, according to Kyle, is Born to Run by Christopher McDougall.
Exactly right. Yep. I've got 3 copies at home.
Born to Run. Well, I was not born to run. I have a license to slouch, but let's see. Let's go to John in Falls Village. John, you're on.
Hey, fellas. Hello. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
As far as the plantar fasciitis, I had that, and I'm going to go on to toenail fungus after this, but I cured that in myself by putting my foot on a step and squeezing my toes against the kick of the step so that they were actually being pushed up to a 90-degree angle. And, oh, God, did it feel good. It was wonderful.
Wow.
And it didn't take a week, and the fasciitis was gone.
Have you heard of anything like that, Douglas Tillman?
Of course, yeah. Stretching off a stair or doing things like that. There's so many variations of plantar fasciitis, and John had it for a week or so, and it was gone. So immediately doing stretching exercises and strengthening exercises can be a big help, John. Good for you.
All right. John, you want to follow up?
I had it for a couple of months, and then I said, I got to
figure it out,
man. Yeah. And that's when I did the stretching, and it worked. Now, toenail fungus.
Yes.
Ray knows I've called in before about this. He may not remember.
I don't remember yesterday.
I asked the podiatrist, and the podiatrist might have been you. I don't remember. But remove the toenail that's infected so it can grow back naturally. Well, I removed my toenail. I tore it right off, accidentally.
Ouch. Ah.
And it grew back. And I still have the fungus.
Yes. So here's the thing. I'm not big on taking toenails off. Certainly doing it at home is not my favorite way to do that. So
it was an accident.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay, there we go.
All right, good, John.
But anyway, if it's fungal, the fungus lives in what's called the matrix, the root of the nail. So you can take a toenail off, and it'll come back the same exact way much of the time.
Okay.
So you need an antifungal remedy to kill it where it becomes, you know, from its origination point. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, my wife has had a couple of funguses that the podiatrist said, you can't get rid of them. There's some you cannot get rid of.
It's hard sometimes. Yeah, we don't have... You know, but the best we can do is about 67%, 70%.
Do you ever say never, Doug?
Do I never say never?
Do you ever say, we can't fix this?
Yeah, if I've treated somebody with everything in my toolkit and it doesn't get better, I'm going to say, yeah, we can live with this or I can get rid of it by taking the nail off and not letting it come back.
All right, John, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 on this Medical Monday, podiatry edition. We'll go to Schenectady. And Doug, you're on.
Oh, great. Okay. So thank you for taking this course.
Sure.
A few years ago, 15 years ago probably, I had a severe ankle sprain when I was on Cape Cod. I went to an urgent care center. They sucked my ankle in a bucket of water, passed a electrical current through it, and while I was very black and blue, I walked out of there. I was able to run and bike. I had no problems. I had a family member the other day who had a severe ankle sprain, and he's in a rehab center. And I was surprised that this treatment wasn't suggested to him. I had looked it up a number of years ago, and it seemed at that time that it wasn't so well supported by research. I looked it up the other day on an AI, and it said it was pretty well supported. So I wanted your opinion on this.
Okay, before you answer, Doug, what are you doing, Doug, in Schenectady? What are you doing over there?
Well, I was in my office. I was carrying some stuff.
Ah, there it is. It sounded like there were a lot of items you were carrying around. All right, Dr. Douglas Tillman, go ahead.
So I'm a big fan of immediate immersion in cold ice therapy.
Yeah.
It'll stop the swelling. And then they did some electric stim. Most urgent care centers and other places will not do that as initial care. But Doug is a study of one, and it worked for you.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. Will it work in the rehab center? And they have that? Probably not. So
why do you think it won't work in the rehab center?
They don't have that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I got
it's not going to be available.
All right. Yeah. You want to follow up, Doug?
So what I had thought also that it was anecdotal data. But when I entered the question in DeepSeek, which is an AI I use for this kind of stuff, it said there was quite a bit of data supporting this. So I was surprised to see that since it was more, my understanding was more consistent with what you said.
Yeah, when you go to physical therapy, if you go to physical therapy and you're in rehab, they'll often do electric stim and things along those lines, but not in urgent care centers initially. So
But he's in a... rehab program now, so I'm wondering.
You have to call the rehabs. They have their own protocols, so it's hard to answer for everybody. But it worked for you, so if you can encourage them to do it work for you, that would be great.
All right. Hey, thank you very much.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. Donna's in Albany. Donna, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Douglas Tooman.
Hi, Dr. Tooman. Thanks for taking my call. Sorry, I had my air conditioning on. So about 10 years ago, I fell and sprained my first metatarsal phalangeal joint. And a year later, I fell and sprained the one on my other foot. So initially, it was extremely painful. I was diagnosed with complex regional pain syndrome and took gabapentin. Then I saw someone who had me desensitizing it with a scratchy pad kind of thing and a course of prednisone, and that totally cleared it up. About 9 months ago, I had a lupus flare, and all of my joints hurt, but when that passed, my foot was the only one that still was really bothering me. And so at this point, it's better than when I first did it, but it's not as good as it was 9 months ago. So what would you suggest?
Donna, that's a very good question. First of all, you had an injury, which is a sprained joint, big toe joint. But what you said after that is CRPS, chronic regional pain syndrome, which can be a very challenging issue. And that's a result of an injury which causes another injury, which affects your autonomic nervous system. And it's a neurology and, you know, pain specialty.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to suggest something. Then you added lupus to the mix. So you really need to be either with rheumatology, pain management, primary care. And I would recommend you do that, Donna, because I'm not sure how to guide you.
All right, Donna.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Quickly to East Moncton, Vermont. Mark, you're on.
Yes. I had the nail fungus about 30 years ago, and for 4 years trying to get rid of that thing, and my nail was receding. Anyhow, I started dating this girl who's now my wife, and her mom said, do a poultice with flaxseed. So I did a poultice with flaxseed, and in 3 days, it cured it. And I was dealing with this for 4 years, putting, you know, getting the drugstore stuff and all that.
I think you picked the right woman, Mark.
All you have to do is just grind up your flaxseed, you know, make it warm, like a paste, put it on your whatever area, and wrap it at night when you go to bed and just stick with it. And those old school remedies, they work.
Okay.
Would she have married you if you didn't clear that fungus? I'm just wondering.
That's a good question.
We'll never know. I'm glad it worked out for you, Mark. Thank you for the call. Allison writes in, I've gotten calluses on my big toes, both of them, for many, many years. I have a very wide foot, often thought it had to do with my toe rubbing against the shoe. I just keep them filed down. I have to say they're very ugly. That's a terrible thing to say about your own feet. I saw a video the other day that said it may be from being flat-footed, which I never really thought it was. Any suggestions on keeping them from growing, or should I just keep filing them down? And how would I know if I have flat feet? And that's from Allison.
Allison, but I must say, nobody reads questions like you do.
Yeah.
Entertaining.
Emotes.
Right. So, Allison, the calluses on the big toe, they're usually on the inside portion, and they're called pinch calluses, and they're going to keep coming back, and you're going to keep trimming them down with whatever you're using. And yes, flat feet can be a part of it, because as you walk and you pronate, which means rolling inwards, you're putting more pressure on the bone than the little fat pad on the bottom of the toe. So you have a pressure spot that's causing the callus. So unless you can change the way that you walk with an orthotic or something along those lines, that might help a little bit. But keep doing what you're doing. You're not in pain.
Okay.
And it works.
All right,
and your feet are probably very attractive, even with the callus.
You know what? Every foot is attractive in its own way, right?
Exactly.
Allison, thank you very much for that one. Albert writes in, Dear Dr. Tooman, I've had athlete's foot for most of my life. I've tried everything over the counter. While I've had some relief, it's only temporary. The only thing that I've found that works is a foot bath with a bleach solution. If I don't do the foot baths regularly, the nails start to yellow. Your advice appreciated. Do you recommend the bleach?
I'm not a big fan of the bleach, but it can work.
Okay.
Makes the clothes white. Maybe it can make your toes.
Right,
not
fair,
your, no,
fair
people
enough.
Who use bleach, but you'd be very careful with that. Very dilute solution.
Right.
And there are many other remedies as well. But yeah, if it works for you.
Okay.
You know, and you're careful, feel free.
All right. Let's see here. This one is from Laura. After a few ankle sprains over the course of decades, I've now been told I have posterior tibial tendonitis in my left ankle. My understanding is that all I can do, short of surgery, is to wear supportive shoes and or an air brace. Are there exercises I can do to mitigate pain and or improve the situation? And can you comment on the surgery, please? 67-year-old active female, and that's from Laura.
Yeah, we get rid of posterior tibial tendonitis. There's different types, posterior tibial tendonitis, then there's dysfunctional tendons. And I guess my first thing is, have you had an MRI? If not, you should get an MRI.
Why is that?
See if there's any tears or ruptures in the tendon. See if it needs repair. If it doesn't need repair, then orthotics and bracing really work very well. We'll do injection therapy, strengthening exercises, but it's very rare that we can't cure that. So I wouldn't live with that forever. Just keep seeking out treatment for someone that can help you a little bit more. But supportive shoes, custom orthotics can be a big part. But get the MRI also.
All right, this is a really long email, and we only have about a minute 20 left here, so I'm going to do my best. Mary writes in, Marianne from Wilbraham. She says, I had fallen down a couple of stairs outside, and when I went to get my feet x-rayed because they hurt, I found that I had bone spurs on the heels, so heel spurs on both feet, and one of them looking like a fish hook essentially broke off, and it's just kind of free-floating. Is it dangerous to leave a piece of bone in tissue? If it's not attached, could it cause an infection, or should I get the loose piece of broken bone removed?
Good question. First of all, it's an ancillary finding, something that happened when you're looking for something else. We see heel spurs, cracked heel spurs, regular heel spurs on many patients that never have a problem, never had a problem, won't have a problem. So don't do anything with it unless you have symptoms, and then you can treat it like plantar fasciitis. We don't take out bone spurs in the heel unless they're something that is not going to respond to the treatment. You don't need treatments, Marianne from Willingham or
Wilbraham.
Wilbraham.
Yeah, well, that's close enough. That was a long email. I forget too.
Leave it alone.
All right. So there's really no concern on your part of a loose piece of bone causing an infection.
Correct. You can't see my hand, but 0%. Yes.
All right, there, Dr. Douglas Tooman. How do people find out more about Hudson Valley Foot Associates?
It's easy. They can go to HVFA.com or, you know, contact us any of our offices, and we'd be happy to help anybody, whether you can come in or whatever you need.
Dude, well, I hope you have a good summer, and we'll see you in the fall, right?
I'll be running.
Support comes from Stinging Nettle Botanics, Main Street, Catskill, New York, offering handcrafted organic herb-based products, incorporating natural herbal remedies into daily life. StingingNettleNY.com. Thanks again to Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the great calls. Thanks for the emails. I apologize if we didn't get to your question. Dr. Douglas will be back next time, a couple few months he's usually on. Thanks to our engineer, Michael Bowen, and Jim Mountier screened the calls. Thank you, Jim. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we head outdoors with the folks from the New York State DEC. I understand from chatting in the newsroom that there are a lot of bears lurking around in the Northeast. And so I'll try not to terrify you, but we'll bring the topic up tomorrow. That's tomorrow at 2. We'll see you then.